Rizzuto Show podcast, powered by Dobbs, for the best price and value on quality tires at Expert Auto Service. Get into Dobbs today.
All right, let's hit it.
Listener discretion is advised.
Rizzuto.
The Rizzuto Show. Rewinds. The Rizzuto Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a guest in this room. His name is Dan Cummins.
Thank you.
An honor to have you on the studio.
Oh, that's very nice. Thank you. I feel at home here. A lot of facial hair in the room.
Yeah. So when you walked in, just relax, man. This ain't a serious thing.
Your career isn't serious, bro. It's cool.
That's
cool, man. I just want you to relax. Need a massage, back rub?
I know.
It starts getting
real weird. Just have a drink, man. No, seriously, you drink this.
Just let it happen.
It's okay. Get sleepy.
Yeah, Jessica, make
your pants off.
You need to lay down. It's cool. Don't worry about it.
She'll ask me later. How was the show? I was like, my butt hurts, but...
I can't remember. It was good.
Blacked out, my butt hurts, but...
Can't find one of my socks.
I'll tell you what, I'm a huge fan of your Time Suck podcast.
Oh, thanks, man.
I've been telling you guys about it for a long time.
Absolutely.
Because I like to learn things.
Yeah, you do.
In a fun way.
Why are you yelling at us?
You know, I never thought it was... It's one of those ideas that I never thought would work. It's been such a fun surprise where initially I tried to get like a podcast network and I couldn't even get a meeting. They were just like, well, you're not a historian. Right. You know, you one dude talking about this stuff. They're like, it's not going to work. Basically, it was the vibe. And but I found out that a lot of people like to learn like I do, where I love learning the historical
things. I love history too.
And I thought I didn't when I was younger, but it was just a presentation. You know, it was just like, because when I can't learn from a speech if they go to that NPR monotone place, no matter how interesting the subject matter is, if they're like, and then this thing happened, and then this happened, and then this thing happened, my brain just like, yeah, dude, we're done now. We're out. But if it's like more engaging, and the stories are so just fascinating if you tell them the right way and don't pull punches.
So if you like history, so download the Time Suck podcast. And Dan, you know, presents it in a funny way.
Give me an example. What are you talking about?
So, like, Arba Dwyer is my favorite one.
Oh,
my favorite
Time
Suck is Arba Dwyer. You know the song, Hey Man, I Shot?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Filter.
Yeah. You know, about the guy from Pennsylvania, put the gun in his mouth in front of
a press
conference.
Podium, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, I just knew the surface facts.
Yeah, me too.
You broke it down. I didn't realize that he was probably innocent of what he's being accused of.
Oh, that's what it looks like. And we have a nice, like, decent, like, listener base now, which is so I'll get cool updates. And I remember one guy wrote in, and he was dating Dwyer's daughter when all that stuff, like, went down. And he just kind of vouched, too, saying, like, I swear, it's like, you know, I don't know everything, but I would bet my life that guy was innocent. Like, everything around is this poor guy. He just got railroaded. The whole thing.
Embezzlement.
Yeah, the whole thing was the governor, he was the state treasurer, and the governor was trying to, you know, just kind of, like, swindle the system a little bit. Not in, like, crazy ways, but, like, bring his wife to Germany for a government function, but have the state pay for her. And basically, Dwyer just wouldn't sign off on those expenses, and it really made that guy angry.
Mm-hmm.
And Pennsylvania government, super corrupt, because we did a bunch of updates too. Like, they've had so many people go to jail from their state political offices, not just get charged the last like 20 years. So notoriously corrupt.
So was like Illinois.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay, okay. And he just wouldn't play the game. And then somebody else did something that he kind of signed off on, and it sounds like unwittingly, and he got kind of caught up in it.
Bribery and embezzlement, some kind of weird, shady state math, and he got caught up in it. The guy was like a legit cared public servant. Like, cared about what he
lifelong,
was doing.
Yeah,
so why did he do what he did? But was it his lasting legacy?
Because
did you listen to the podcast?
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just unfortunately saw the video, my life will never be like that.
I know.
It's crazy.
My life will never be the same.
Insurance, that's right.
It was his family. His wife is going to be ruined.
Exactly. If he would have waited one more day.
When he was sentenced.
all the money goes away. And he had his kids going to college, his wife. I mean, what, like it was like the ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. But yeah, I just thought it was some dude. Before that, I just assumed, yeah, crooked politician, didn't want to, you know, serve his time after getting caught. But no, very different. And yeah, that video, man, that haunts you.
Well, even the detail you go into about there being a snowstorm that day and the kids were home from school.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
You paint the picture.
So, yes, because so many kids saw it, you know, because, it was a snow day. And so, like, a lot of families were watching, just happened to have the TV on. You know, this is back when there was, like, you know, more people are watching 3 channels for the most part, not 1,000. And so a lot of people grew up, you know, seeing that.
Yeah. Seeing that, and in my case, man,
I can't, now I'm picturing it. I can't stop picturing it out of my head.
He just saw it for the first time.
The nose is what gets me.
That's what's going in my head right now.
And I just want to break this computer screen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like
your second one.
A faucet was turned on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much blood.
It's so much. It's so much.
Yeah.
I just know. And then the cameraman zooms in, and you guys are talking, but in my head I'm going, don't do that. No.
Well, that's what the song Hey Man, Nice Shot's about.
Yep. Yep.
Arba Dwyer.
Now the next time I hear it, I'm going to go, wow, I'm picturing that video again. Thank you.
your podcast, filter. Especially that one, I mean, I couldn't get out of my car. I'm like, I like learning.
Yeah.
What else does this guy have? Joan of Arc, I love that one.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm listening to the Hatfield and McCoy's one.
Hot folk, doc folk. That's fun to be like silly with it. But yeah, that one we had, I'd send me right in that, like, you know, it was from that valley and they were, you know, did a nice little thank you. But they are fun to do. Like, the only one that's really haunted me, because we do true crime as well.
Right.
There's only one episode that I almost halfway through it just said, nope, let's just toss this and we can say that, you know, sorry, this week we're Toy Box Killer is the most disturbing.
Oh, So what is
that
guy?
That's brutal.
Is he a Chicago guy?
No, it's New Mexico, small town New Mexico guy. And now I'm blanking on his actual David Parker Ray and his accomplice. I've covered people who were worse overall in terms of like how many people they killed or whatever, but was really disturbing. It reminded me of the movie Saw, where basically this guy was just a huge sexual sadist and he would kidnap you know, prostitutes for the most part, you know, and then they would wake up in this little kind of trailer that he had turned into this torture room, soundproofed. He had OBGYN chair in the middle there, torture Jeff things on the wall.
He's an amateur gynecologist.
Amateur freelance. He's a freelance gynecologist.
He operates out of his garage.
but then when they would wake up, he had a tape recorded and they would listen to an orientation tape telling them what was going to happen to them. And they have the transcript of that from court.
And you bailed out. You're like, God. I can't.
Ooh, I read from it, but it made me literally nauseous. The things he is describing, he is going to do to you, and then he does do to you, and just the most horrific, heinous. Wow. Heinous.
So that's again, one you started, but you stopped.
I did. No, I put it out there because you know what? I'm like, I shouldn't treat the audience like they can't handle stuff, and I did it. But I was like, I that's the one I give the strongest warning. I'm like,
that's
you guys,
I was ask.
Bail
do
on
you
this.
Do if
you
don't.
Oh, that one I did, and a lot of people told me they took me up on it. I was like, you guys, we've covered some rough stuff. This is the worst. Wow. If this kind of stuff bothers you, just skip it.
Well,
wow.
As a comedian,
I mean, it's dark. I just read like a little tiny blurb on it, and it's real dark.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a comedian, listen, every comic now has a podcast.
Right.
But now your podcast, you're a comedian, but it's different than just you sitting back and just chatting about whatever's on your mind.
Or me and my comedian friends.
Right.
We were talking about this the other day, our kids. So we got young kids, and you say to your kid, all right, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they want to be a YouTuber.
Yep. And you go, kid too.
What are you going to do on YouTube? Well, I'm going to open up toys and play with things and play video games. I'm like, there's a million people doing that.
And done. Yeah.
You need an angle.
Right. That's what I tell people now, starting off with a podcast. I'm like, there's too many comics who have fan bases already that do the banter thing, and like, you know, too many radio stations are good at it. Like, they already have that kind of, you know, cornered in their markets. Mm-hmm. I'm like, for you, especially when you don't have a big fan base, to try to also then do that. Like, the market's flooded. You're not going
to
crack in.
Apart. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so I just followed, like, my passion. I've always liked, like, you know, researching weird stuff just for my own amusement. Just to, like, oh, what's going on here? And just find myself, like, as a procrastination thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just try to turn that into a podcast. And it's been amazing, man.
Yeah, my buddy Matt turned me on to your podcast.
Oh, that's nice, man. We've been developing, like, a nice little cult following, and it just seems to be growing. So,
also a little fun fact about Mr. Dan Cummins over here.
I know it.
Oh.
3 nipples.
I heard that. I heard that. Also, a huge fan of St. Louis's own. This guy right here. Go ahead. Hit it.
That's right. That's right. Yep.
St. Louis zone. Triple M. Michael McDonald.
I got it.
Let's
one
swim
day.
In this. Let's swim in this. Like that.
You can't not smile. See, we play a little Michael McDonald.
I'm waiting for the. Wait. Coming up. Let the art speak for itself.
There we go. God, he hits those notes.
So good, huh? Father.
Is Mike here? Mike?
Where is he? I just love being so serious.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, watching us all. We came from each other and give nothing at all. It's a doggone shame.
Anytime I ever hear Michael McDonald, all I think of is a 40-year-old version.
I know. That's it. Like, dude, turn it off. That,
he's like, if I hear this one more time, I'm going to kill myself.
We got to get to the hook here.
His name. I'm going to be there up and over.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, Mike.
Jimmy Ingram. Blocking that as well.
Now, you do your podcast out of your house in Idaho?
We have a studio now. We got a studio in down the street, but yeah, in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho.
From Idaho?
Oh, dude, Coeur d'Alene is so freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
The town is so awesome. Well, I kept telling those guys, every once in a while we'll have a story from Idaho, and I'm like, what part of Idaho? Because we're talking... Yeah. This part, and then we're talking the part where if everything goes to complete crap in this country, everyone's going to go, I want to go to Northern Idaho.
You're the third most famous thing.
You could disappear there and nobody knows.
It's Napoleon Dynamite.
Napoleon Dynamite.
The Russet.
Oh. The Russet Potato.
You can't really compete there.
You know, it is. I'm from a town of 400 people, and I used to be like, that was like a joke in the family, like the most famous person to come out of Riggins, Idaho. And then actually this last year, Leighton Vander Esch, Dallas Cowboy linebacker, first round draft pick, came out of my town. I'm like, I'm ruined. Screw it. I can never have that title again.
It's an NFL career. It's 6 years. You'll be back.
I know. That's what I don't
max.
Want. Yeah, exactly. He could blow a knee.
Check the injury report every Monday morning.
Hey, home of Dan Cummins. When you get to the city limits.
Yeah, the Coeur d'Alene is beautiful. And Southern Idaho is kind of, Southern Idaho is like just like Northern Nevada, just kind of a high desert.
Just another state. But you hit Idaho and you're like, whoa, this is the part of Montana nobody tells you about, but it's in Idaho.
You know, and people running up there to like the whole thing of things, fall apart, they're going to come to Northern Idaho. There is so many doomsday preppers in that area.
Is there really?
There's realtors that specialize in doomsday prepping homes.
Huh.
Like, homes with bunkers.
That was a bunker and everything?
Mm-hmm. It can be a small one for the most part, but
that was a total joke from me, just saying because no one ever talks about or knows about Idaho, but it is freaking gorgeous.
It is really beautiful.
And it's a place to disappear. I swear, there's a lot of people hiding from something up there.
Oh, it is. It's a weird place that way where it's like, it's really pretty, it's really scenic, but heavy on conspiracies. I do a lot of conspiracies on times like two, and I think because I grew up in Idaho, I didn't realize how weird that was to be surrounded by people talking about the New World Order and black helicopters and all that kind of stuff. There's a very paranoid kind of subculture.
You should start selling those buckets of food.
Right. Is that like a new thing? Like
it's
the buckets?
Like a new thing. You can buy like a bucket of food that'll last you 20 years.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That would do well out there.
I remember being stock the shelters.
I was in NutriShop and some people started talking about the demon Baphomet. As if that's an okay thing to bring up. Like the people working there, they're just like, well, yeah, a lot of celebrities, are part of that, and sacrificing kids and stuff. And I was like, and I started laughing. I was like, oh, no. And then like nobody laughed. I was like,
It's
a real thing.
Coming from Idaho, how does one get noticed? I mean, how did you get?
Oh, like comedy?
Yeah,
like,
got lucky. I got to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I went to Spokane. I went to Gonzaga, which is just outside of Idaho in Spokane, Washington, which is also a place that it's not really on the map. It was not outside of Gonzaga basketball now, but it wasn't connected to any kind of comedy scene. And then I just got lucky. I just did stand up locally. And then a guy in Seattle, when I'd go over there across the state, he brought me out to a few clubs, thought it was funny to have him open for him. And then that bounced me to a few other club managers who thought I was funny enough to work their clubs.
Mm-hmm.
And then just kind of this one manager in Columbus, Ohio, just recommended me to a comedy manager in L.A. sent my tape into Comedy Central and a few places, and that just kind of helped me get going.
But for you to still live in Idaho.
Yeah, you know what? You know what's funny? It's such a weird thing because of the podcast. It's like I went back, honestly, because of family stuff, just to make, I have two kids with my ex-wife, and it was just way easier. It was hard having them come back and forth from L.A. And you know, Spokane all the time. And I just thought it would be kind of the end. Like, I was like, well, you know, I toured for a long time, had a good run.
That's it.
You know, worked on some shows in L.A.
Yeah, I can do some stuff around here.
Yeah, I'll segue into something else. And then I just started. And then the podcast has taken to a degree where now it's, things are going better than ever. Like, we just, like, next year I'm already booked for the whole year, which is not usual for me. And then I'm going to L.A. next week. I mean, nothing's probably going to happen. But, like, you know, some production company wants me to do a little sizzle, they call it, just to pitch a show.
That's awesome.
And it's not like, you know, there's, it's not like that's going to sell or anything, but I used to be hounding those people in L.A. and couldn't get them to do anything with me.
Isn't it crazy to you, though, that you almost quit the game and now, now it's a because of a podcast, it's kaboom.
It's so weird because, like, because the podcast itself has an audience, you know, sizable enough where, I mean, I get it, it's a business. That's what they, you know, they're like, oh, okay, this is an audience we could maybe market to or whatever. Yeah. But it's just a different world. Like, you were talking about, you know, your kids with YouTube and kids today. I mean, that's it. If you can get an audience on Instagram or YouTube or on a podcast or whatever, that's the key now to selling tickets, to doing things more than late night for stand-up, at least, you know, those type of things. Like, it's, my agent has clients who are on TV all of the time and can't get booked in clubs.
Well, just think about it this way, okay? Like, a huge name, a bunch of huge names have come through the area, or at least announced shows in the area.
Right.
It hasn't sold well, and they've ended up canceling their show.
Yeah.
And then a dude like Dan Tedium sells out the big venue down here. What is that? 2,600 people probably in there? Sells it out immediately.
Yep. It's all gone to that, man. Clubs talk about that all the time, you know? And you know, they get frustrated sometimes because, from a stand-up point of view, they don't necessarily think that the act or whatever is as good as it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But the audience doesn't care. They say that all the time. They're like, nope, they get to see the person they watch on YouTube all the time. They get to hear the catchphrases they hear. They're happy.
You can sit up there on stage and fart for 3 hours. Yeah, it'd be fun.
Grab a shirt on the way out. Thanks.
It was the most kind of depressing thing for comics. I feel like this video, if it got passed around, could make about half of all stand-up comedians just quit comedy. But it was, you know, everybody's working really hard to sell tickets. Mm-hmm. There's this kid, I don't know his name, and I wouldn't want to throw him under the bus, but he's in a unicorn costume, and he just dances in a unicorn costume and just, hey guys, we having fun? And just dancing around with like techno-y music. And I'm like, yeah, but what else does he do? And they're like, that's it. That's his thing. And I'm like, and he sold out. They're like, oh, he sold out the day they went on sale.
Oh, dude, he made $22 million last year.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exactly.
His neck.
It reminds me of Idiocracy sometimes, where, you know that movie when he goes to the movie theater and it's just farting? It's just like a movie of farting. Yeah. And he's looking around like, what? And they're like, nah, it's great, right?
Yeah, then there's a Nutshots channel or whatever.
Yeah, they get kicked all the time. Exactly. Dax Shepard watching that.
Yeah.
Well, and this is it for you this year. So this is the last of this run of the tour here in St. Louis, Helium Comedy Club.
The Flat Earth Tour.
The Flat Earth Tour.
Yeah, making fun of Flat Earthers.
We love Flat Earth.
Do you have a few of those in Idaho?
Oh, yeah.
Now, in all seriousness, because we talked about this a couple months ago. So the theory is that there's a wall.
Ice wall.
At the edge. Yeah. And is it NASA that's guarding the wall?
NASA working with other Illuminati kind of agents is guarding the wall. And
sorry.
No, it's going crazy. You know what's funny is like I had a listener who's a military contractor, former military, and knows how much it costs to budget a perimeter. And he did some math. And based on the perimeter of what would be a flat earth, to set up all those bases, transport, food, to have shifts, you know, 24 hours a day for that entire perimeter, $75 trillion annual budget.
Yeah, the Galactic Empire.
Well, everybody just chips in.
Everybody chips in.
We're going to do a GoFundMe, I think.
Yeah, because the theory is that NASA is taking our money for, you know, their quote-unquote space program, but really we're just funding Illuminati efforts. But I'm like, the operating budget of the U.S. is less than $5 trillion. So they're working at a huge loss. Mm-hmm. This is a terrible conspiracy.
Property taxes are going.
Right, they're bleeding, they're hemorrhaging money.
Somebody's going to have a balloon payment. They're not going to
be able to. Exactly. My favorite, there's all variations of Flat Earth. My favorite one is, you know, they run into these logic holes where it's like people are like, yeah, but what if somebody made it to the edge and they made it past the perimeter and they went out, like what would happen to them? Wouldn't they just fall off? I swear, there is a contingent of Flat Earthers. It's called the Pac-Man Theory. Have you guys heard this?
Where you just go to the other side?
Yep, just like the video game. You vortex to the other side.
You gotta be kidding.
Nope.
What was the one we just heard? Was the donut theory where the earth is a donut?
Yeah. Oh, I've heard the donut one.
The center of the earth is actually jelly. Open. It's hollow. It's open.
So you can make it to the edge on either side. You can make it to the center.
Yeah, look, we just talked about that.
Oh, the donut theory.
So what do the flat earthers think is on the other side?
Oh, on the other side? Underneath. They don't know. They don't know. I have any answers. They just, I mean,
what's in the
pictures.
Underground?
I know there's Starbucks.
Just like dirt.
Starbucks
for sure.
It's just drive-thru.
Oh, yeah. One dude down there, he's like, this is the worst location.
I'm closing early.
I'm closing early? There's never anyone.
Final tomorrow.
Right. I got a tube up to regular earth or whatever. It is ridiculous. But they're so arrogant about their belief system. I mean, you can be confronted by all these signs. They get hung up on the curve.
Hey, look on the screen.
Oh, the donut.
Yeah, it's frosted.
Oh, it's frosted donut.
Yeah, Tony,
they say that's what the moon does.
The moon goes through the hole.
The moon yo-yos through the donut earth.
Just back and forth. I love how they don't care about any scientific principles whatsoever.
There are scientists that are like, well, what about gravity? I mean,
right. And the fact that this thing is from makeagif.com, by the way.
No, that's where they just made the GIF.
The gravity thing, flatearthsociety.org has a frequently asked questions page. And one of the questions is, what about gravity? I swear to you, their answer is, gravity's a myth, stuff just false. it's stuff false, bro. Just drop it. See? Fell. You don't need gravity.
Example one, leaves.
Example one. It is the most, and I love to get hung up on like seeing the curve. It's like, do you not understand how big the ball is?
Yeah.
It's not 5 miles around, you idiots.
Yeah, well, I looked off in the distance and I was like, show me the curve.
And they don't understand topography. It's like, there's mountains, there's different things. Like, it's so frustrating. So frustrating. But yeah, the flat, it is a weird thing where I've been talking about that in stand-up lately, where we've gone to this weird place where everybody's opinion is like equal about something. Like, so like with flat earth, like, you know, this round versus flat, the entire scientific community's consensus opinion is no better than dude with power crystals and ponytail in his basement. Yeah. Who has like a weekend degree
more followers and subscribers on YouTube.
Yep, exactly.
I don't know what I like more.
That's where the value is.
The actual conspiracy theory or the passion behind the conspiracy theorists. Right. We always talk about this, and this is a big joke that we always make, is when people try and talk about how, you know, 9/11 was an inside job and all this stuff. And my favorite is, we were looking up a story one time and somebody goes, well, give me one proof that 9/11 could be a conspiracy. One proof. And the guy said, where's the luggage?
Show me the luggage.
You gotta be kidding me.
You know what I've noticed about the conspiracies too? This is my theory on why they go there in their head. If you look at the conspiracy people's channels or whatever, it's never like a CEO. It's never somebody with a doctorate. Yeah. It's usually somebody whose life has gone horrifically wrong. Yeah. They have, they don't have a family. They're just like
possible head injury.
Possible head injury. Exactly. And they just rather than face the reality of their life that hasn't worked out what they wanted, they're part of this big, they're an important player in this movie. It's exciting. It's more exciting than their
head flat earth guy.
Yeah.
And then just, there are trips where you just go up to the, just beyond the, the atmosphere. And
they still wouldn't believe it.
Billionaire saying, okay, I will fund the trip. Show me this wall.
Where Elon Musk? No. Yeah. Fund
this is exactly.
Show me.
And I think what Dan's trying to say is these people would be like, I took the trip. And they'd go, what do you think? Be like, really expensive television screens they put up.
No, for real. There was a documentary.
They drugged me and then I woke up and I'm in an IMAX theater.
That's actually right. There's a documentary that went to this big Flat Earth convention and he asked them that. He's like, what if we sent you up into space? These people are so into this theory. The guy was like, basically said that if he was taken out into space, he wouldn't be taken in space because that doesn't happen. And that if it looked like he was taken up in space, he would know that the government had drugged him with some powerful MK Ultra hallucinogen type drugs, and it was all manufactured. Like, there's literally nothing you can do
to convince these people.
Yeah, right.
And facts be damned.
And at that point, I think when you take them onto space, if they're like, all right, see? And if they're still like, I don't know.
Just keep going.
Then you just, you just let them keep floating. You're just like, all right.
You keep going, I'll meet you. Yeah.
I'll meet you.
When the stuff wears off, we'll be right here.
Well, I got you. Just meet us back there.
Yeah. I'll meet you at Saturn.
When you think they're the flat, we'll meet you back. We'll meet you back in California.
Let's have you test your theory.
Exactly. Nah, man, it is that... I mean, that's part of the inspiration, too, for it became kind of after I already got going, but just kind of spreading, like, real knowledge was I do get a little concerned in a legitimate way when I, like, about the Idiocracy type stuff, mm-hmm. where it does seem to be spreading. Like, conspiracies are growing. More and more people are taking this mentality of, like, school's dumb, man. Teachers are just part of the game. They're part of the Illuminati.
You know why? Because everybody's got a voice now on the internet.
Yep. I talk about that, man. It's like, oh, my gosh. I talk about that in stand-up, too. I go, it's this weird culture where everybody's opinion's valid. Everybody has this voice, you know. And I'm like, yeah, they do, but they're not equal.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
You know, look at the bell curve. A lot of people in the middle, quite a few in the bottom half.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Those people need to shut up and listen to the people in the top half.
Hey, can you stay for a little while longer? All right.
Sweet.
Because we got to take a break. Oh. Let's do some celebrity news after the break, if you're cool okay. with that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Your takes on, you know, what's going on
things
in the world
stuff,
of music and entertainment. Things and stuff. So Dan Both. Cummins is here.
The Rizzuto Show. Rewind.
All right, the sexiest man alive from People Magazine was announced. If you could take a guess who it might be by listening to the winner's girlfriend get the news.
There's a rumor that he might be People's Sexiest Man Alive this
what?
Year.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Uh-huh.
Well, wow, they got that right.
This is the beginning of Sir Mix-a-Lot.
I need to know.
I knew I was onto something.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
I couldn't even hear it because you were talking.
Tony's over there actually trying to guess.
What's the reaction if you wake up and that's the news?
Wow, I'm going to look really good, huh? I already had scored, but now I've really scored.
There you go.
Do we know who that is?
Hell no.
I certainly do.
What in the world?
You do? Do you know because you know?
I'm supposed to know
it?
I know.
Yeah, you know because you saw it.
How many voices are in there?
Just two. There's an interviewer
there's
and then
two people in there?
Yeah, you guys were talking.
Well, there's the six of us.
I'm going to play it again, guys, okay? I want you to pay attention.
There's a rumor.
I get some more cappuccino. Shut up!
Oh, I know who it is.
Some more salsa.
I need to know.
I knew I was onto something.
You had the right in years. What's the reaction if you wake up and that's the news?
Wow.
Now, can you get it, Tony? Since
really
nobody
good,
said
huh?
anything at all, nobody's talking.
I already had scored, but
I don't care anymore.
There you go.
I don't care who it is.
Ignorant dolphin. I could
break up.
Anything. Anybody. Nobody.
Who the hell could ever understand anything that anybody was ever saying? Because you got to be a jerk. So who cares?
Well, I lost it with Skipper or the dolphin.
Skipper. Flipper, it's not Skipper. You idiot.
My brain fell out of my head.
No, it wasn't. That's not true either.
So who is it?
Is anybody serious today?
That was Gwen Stefani.
Oh, Blake Shelton?
Blake Shelton is your new People Magazine Sexiest Man Alive.
Wow.
All right, so.
That could have been Blake Shelton or the Queen of England, and I would have had no damn, differentiate any voice.
Do you think you could have recognized Gwen Stefani's voice in those two?
Hell no.
Well, now that you know who it is.
Yeah, now listen.
No way.
Oh, no, I don't want to listen anymore.
No way that sounded like her at all.
All right, listen. Listen again, okay?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Gwen Stefani. See if you could pick out her voice.
There's a rumor.
Yeah, she's the second one. She's talking. I don't know if she's the first one or the second.
Oh, my God.
I think the interviewer texts her.
Wow, they got
her. I'm not sure if you could tell.
I was going to say, I need to know. I was onto something. You had the right in years. What's the reaction if you wake up and that's the news?
Holler back.
Wow.
We can hear
how really good. I already had scored, but now I've really scored.
There you go.
Got it? Now you can pick it out.
It's totally obvious now.
Why is it so funny?
Stop, we're so stupid.
So funny.
All right, I got a really uncomfortable question for everybody. I know everybody in here is probably heterosexual, but if you had to, who would you? Famous. If you had to, who would you?
Jeff.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much.
He said famous.
Hey.
If we had to, who would we?
Yeah, if you had to, a fella. Who would you? Famous fella. Not like the dude three doors down from you.
Like, how far are we going?
All the way around the world once, Riz.
Nobody.
Oh, come on.
I can't think of anybody. Hang on.
I have a laminated list.
I can't think of anybody either. John Mayer.
Yeah, that's your dude.
Like, who am I going to settle down with and have
just a one-off.
No, just a one-off.
Crazy weekend. You had a Denzel Washington Film Festival. Things get a little nuts. The Jägermeister comes out, and here comes Riz and...
This is the gayest question you've ever asked.
Thank you.
Literally.
It really is.
Literally.
I don't know. Can I think about that?
I want my body to be a wonderland.
Yeah. It already is, Tone.
Give me a minute.
Who am I making love to? Or are they making love to me?
That's your choice. It's your fantasy, Riz. Your fantasy.
Shoot. Who do you got?
I got a couple of them, actually.
Blue October guy?
No, that's more of a mental attraction as opposed to a physical attraction.
Okay.
Nick Hexum is...
Nick Hexum, 311?
Yeah. Really?
Even after he basically goaded you into stealing spending $30?
Yeah, it's 50, but yeah.
$50!
I feel, Tony, that was just more of a first date for us, and I paid.
Oh, gotcha.
That's really all.
Right. Oh, man.
Interesting question.
I'm trying to think of people that are somewhat like feminine.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, who's a feminine looking guy?
Maybe I can. Why do they got to be feminine, man?
Well, because that's what I'm into.
Oh, you like the femboys. Okay, that's cool. Maybe this list will help because other than just the sexiest man alive,
I don't want to get hurt. I don't want to be handled.
They gave us the dudes with the sexiest body parts.
Easy for me, The Rock. Come on.
Sexiest eyes, Bradley Cooper.
You're going to be sore.
You're going to hurt me.
You're going to be sore.
That's the thing.
Bradley Cooper, sexiest eyes. Does that help?
No. See, no. I like to manhandle a little bit. I don't want somebody bigger.
You want to manhandle.
I like to manhandle. Okay. I don't like to be manhandled.
Well, then you don't want sexiest arms, Jason Momoa.
Oh, no.
That guy, I wouldn't be alive.
Easy. Paul Rubens.
The peewee?
Jason Momoa, you would just go up and just like a cloud of poof.
Yeah. Poof. Dust.
Like baby powder with the bottle. You go poof.
Moon
just
dust.
Poof. Daniel Day Kim, a sexiest chest. Does that help?
I don't know who that is.
All right.
Is that the guy from Lost? The Korean guy?
Yeah, I believe that might be. I don't know. That was your show.
No, he played Lincoln.
That's Daniel Day-Lewis.
I get those two confused.
Great chest on him, too. Barack Obama, sexiest smile. Kit Harington, sexiest tushy.
Isn't that a car?
That's what I thought at first, too.
It's Jon Snow from
Game
of Thrones.
He got what?
Sexiest tush.
Andy Cohen, sexiest hair. And then Harry Shum Jr.
Andy Cohen would be a good one.
Nah,
well, he would know what he's doing.
Jim Parsons.
Who's Jim Parsons? No, because I hate his show.
I was going to say, you guys could just talk about Big Bang Theory the whole time.
Man, listen, I just hate your show.
He's going to go, but you ain't going to hate this. Finally, a little bit of audio here for you, sir. A group called Global Citizen, and I apologize to everyone for the earworm. Global Citizens just put out a parody of a Taylor Swift video, Look What You Made Me Do. It's all about awareness, about sanitation issues in poor countries, and here it is.
I don't like where people pee out in the open streets.
What the hell is this?
It kills and spreads disease. It's not cool and it's not pretty. Water and sanitation problems take too many lives. It's a leading cause of death for children under 5. We've got some global goals to meet, but they're being undermined. I'll tell you once, then I'll tell you twice. Where some people poo, look where some people poo, look where some of these people poo, look where some 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 of these people poo, look where some people poo.
What is that?
We are adults, by the way. We all have families and children.
Caca.
You can see the whole video, and I know a lot of you will, on the blog. And you know what? The girl in the video, I don't know if she's lip syncing or the actual singer, but she looks a little bit like Taylor Swift. On TV tonight, voice on NBC, and also on the Science Channel, ladies and gentlemen, it's the reboot, the premiere of the new Mythbusters with the new host there. And you can check out the extended trailer for that on the blog as well.
Somebody on the Twitters, Doug, says, we went to see Justice League last night, sneak preview, and the movie was great.
Hmm.
There you go. Justice League comes out on Friday.
Correct.
I believe. Okay, go ahead.
Crabby birthday, Shailene Woodley. She's the one from the Divergent series. She is 26. Chad Kroger from Nickelback, 43. E-40, a.k.a. Charlie Hustle, a.k.a. E-Feezy 40 Fonzarelli. He is 50.
Did you say something about Pete Rose just then, or am I lost?
Charlie Hustle, yeah. Kevin Eubanks, he was the band leader for Jay Leno on The Tonight Show. He's 60. Beverly D'Angelo is 66. Ed Asner is 88. And today's Burton birthday of the day. He was a WWF wrestler. Legit one of your favorites if you're between the ages of 30 and 50. He almost was a pro baseball player, believe it or not, and actually got drafted by the Cardinals. He was a rapper, a master on the mic,
and actually let a live snake bite him in the ring, the Macho Man, Randy Savage, would have been 65 years old today.
It bit him right in the ring?
Stop. Stop it.
That's got to hurt.
Stop it, Moon.
Oh, yeah. Step into a Slim Jim.
Also, side note, a bonus Beyond the Grave birthday, ODB, would have been 49. R.I.P. Big Baby Jesus. Today's porno birthday, which is being brought to you by Patricia's, where fun and fantasy meet, is Candy Hill. Today's birthday girl has the name Candy, and the fellas really liked her sweets, and she's proven that in 199 fine films, including Creme de la Face, Volume 23, Lost in the Bush, Rectal Rooter, Ass Cakes, Racetrack Whores, Anal Fever, Volume 8, and who can forget her unforgettable role in Look Who's Here for Dinner, and boy, are they horny. Candy Hill is 55 years old. That is your porno birthday, your crabby birthday, and that is your crap on Celebrity.
The Rizzuto Show. Rewinds.
Hey, it's Jay Chandrasekhar, and you're listening to The Rizzuto Show. Happy birthday, Riz.
All right, welcome back. John Patrico still here. If you missed the Craigslist Freak of the Week, the podcast after the show will be up there. Listen to the three freaks, three brand new ones. And make sure you vote via Twitter at RIZZ Show. Also, don't forget about the newest podcast, the Worst of the Week podcast.
Yep, myself and King Scott, we give you a little look behind the scenes and kind of recap some of the highlights of what happened this week.
All right. The Riz Show Podcast Network. Let's do some sports.
The Rizzuto Show Sports.
Do you guys know who Charlie Casserly is?
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
he's the chocolate factory guy.
Or he's an NFL Network analyst.
Network guy, I think.
He's pretty knowledgeable, actually. And he was talking about the Dallas Cowboys and their offensive issues. And here's what he had to say.
Cole Beasley, I go with what we said earlier. Why don't you throw the guy the ball more? I tell you what, Dez Bryant, they threw the ball too much to him last year. Get Beasley more involved. I don't know why they can't do that.
He's an idiot.
Dude, I didn't even hear anything he said because it was so musical. As soon as he started the beat, I was like, oh, it's a rap. He's rapping.
Oh, speaking of rap, that's funny you say that. There's a tennis player, Canadian guy, 19-year-old Denis Shapovalov, and he's a rising star. He's got a killer backhand. Yesterday, big upset win, and he celebrated by rapping. Moon, do you think it was good or bad?
I'm going to say bad.
Let's go ahead and hear.
I'm a cow with my fans getting hella lit. Hey. Happy with the win today. Wait, I forgot.
Start again.
I wrote it down. So. I'm here with Cali with the fans getting hella lit. Happy with the win today. Now I got a flow to spit. Loving the support, I leave it all on the court. Fighting like a wolf, I'll be back for more. So take care and good night. Know this, the good life. Hot tubs and court time. Thursday, we back, huh?
Not so easy, is it?
Stick to tennis.
Planet.
Finally, one more story here. You remember Vince Young? Former NFLer, shined in college at Texas, took him to a national championship. You also remember those two DUIs that he picked up?
How's he doing?
Yeah, he got fired from the Longhorns. Oh, get him. Boy. I'm Patrico, that's your sports, and boom goes the dynamite.
The Rizzuto Show, Headline Hoosh.
Brought to you by Moritz Royce Jewelry, the exclusive jeweler of the Riz Show, online at ninjabling.com.
What's so funny there, guys?
Nothing.
Today's Headline Hoosh story comes to us from Hancock, Michigan. That's in the Upper Peninsula above Wisconsin. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Hancock, Michigan, Jeff.
You spent the weekend there one night.
So, are you sick of winter, you know, ready for spring? Well, you know, we all are. So is this idiot. A 37-year-old guy got his car stuck in the snow on Tuesday. And then police showed up after there were reports of multiple gunshots. So who got shot? Thankfully, nobody did. It turned out the guy was so angry he couldn't get his car out, he started shooting the snowbank he was stuck in. Cops found a Glock in his car, several shell casings on the ground next to the snowbank, So he shot him multiple times. Police realized he was drunk and arrested him. I'm not sure what charges he's facing yet, but they're coming. So you cannot do that.
Riz, I mean, we just played the tennis guy. I've got another rap for you that I'd like to play. This is an author.
All right, let me hit the okay. The
oh no.
And that's your headline, Ooge.
Oh no.
This is an author, and
I know what you're gonna play. This is impossible to watch and impossible not to watch.
This is a guy. He was an author on a local TV morning show. An author slash rapper, and he was asked to maybe spit a couple rhymes on the morning show.
Freestyle.
Marshall.
Freestyle. Okay.
This is the Rizzuto Show podcast.
Years ago, they tried to put me in the... Shit. This is live.
Yes, it's live. Years ago. It starts with the years.
Did you want to try to read something from your book?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
The Rizzuto Show, traffic and weather.
Freestyling ain't free.
Years ago, they tried
guys, we put Freestyle and Freddy on the...
years ago, they tried to...
If I remember correctly, when it was years ago...
And guys, we got Freestyle and Freddy for the morning show.
My parents, when he goes, years ago they tried to. This live.
Let's go back to Freestyle and Freddy.
Yeah, well, he's in the building.
Freestyle and Freddy in the building. Go ahead. Give us all something, Freestyle and Freddy.
Years ago they tried to put me in the thing.
Did they?
Wait. So years ago, they tried to put him in the, and then listen to the noise. Listen to the noise that comes out of Freestyle Freddy. Here we go.
Put me in the.
Is that a lyric, Freestyle Freddy? If you watch the video, he's looking directly at the camera. He's looking directly at the camera, and then he goes, "This live." And then you hear the woman go, "Yes, it is." And he slow turns to her and goes,
"The Rizzuto Show rewinds." Rizzuto Show on 105.7 The Point.
So we got no Brian Posehn today. I guess he overslept?
Yeah, that's what I was told.
First time, huh? What did Helium say?
He said he overslept. We're very, very sorry. That's unlike him.
Okay, well, that's a shame. We had a game planned out for him. I guess we'll just play Wood Moon then.
The Rizzuto Show. Here, have some free sh**.
And King Scott's going to help you out.
Okay, good. Yeah, because I don't know how I'll do on this. It's been a while since we played this, and I know that I'll confidently say I would probably not do as well as Brian Posehn would.
We should make it a rule that he can't take his headphones off and pace around the room like he normally
does. You cannot take your headphones off.
Oh, what do you mean?
And pace around the room.
That's why you got Scott. You got Scott here.
Well, sometimes I need to do that to sort of like...
That's why I'm saying we should make it a rule that you can't do.
It's the lullaby game! So we'll give you 10 lullabies, and these are lullabied versions of rock songs. And you have to tell us what the song is. Scott, you're
I have to tell you what the song is, not the artist?
Song.
Oh, boy.
Correct. Song. Oh, correct.
One song. Or the other. Right?
That's easier that way.
How about song. Either?
I think they're easy.
What year it was released?
Most of these are rock songs. There's a couple like hip-hop songs.
There's one.
One, but easy. Easy.
That hip-hop song in there was supposed to be the example.
All right, it's easy. Okay. All right, out of 10, how many will Moon and King Scott get correct? All right, Caleb, what do you think? Out of 10, how many will Moon and King Scott get?
I'm sorry?
Out of 10, how many will Moon and King Scott get?
Out of 10, I'm going to say 4.
4, okay. Let's go to Tom in Belleville. Hello, Tom.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
All right, out of 10, how many will Moon and King Scott get?
6.
6, okay. Point Fest tickets on the line. And Brian in DeSoto. Hello, Brian.
Hi.
Hey. What's going on, Ruth? All right, Point Fest tickets on the line. How many will Moon and King Scott get out of 10?
I'm going to go with 8, and let's go Blues.
Yeah. All right, buddy, hang on.
Lucky guess.
All right, here we go. Out of 10, here is your first lullaby version of a song. Here's the hip-hop song, okay?
Cheating. He's cheating. He turned down his headphones. He's cheating. He's cheating. That's messed up.
It's not Gin and Juice. It's Dan. What is that song called? What's the song
called,
Scott? 2.
It's
not Gin and Juice.
1.
I can't think of the song name.
That is.
I know the song.
Nothing but a cheese.
Nothing but a cheese. Oh my gosh. I knew the song, but I couldn't grab the title. That's killing
one
me.
One wrong.
I thought it was.
You one. Better get this right. Here we go.
That's going to be my problem. Is I'm not. I don't know the titles of some
Here
of my songs.
Here we go.
Why
oh, come
cheating?
On.
Why are you cheating?
Back in Black?
Is it Back in Black?
Give him no credit for that answer.
It is Back in Black.
Cheating, yeah.
We give you a rule and you cheat.
You told me
well,
that. No,
headphones. Turn his headphones
down. Turn his headphones down. He's cheating.
Here you go. You got one right.
Sorry, I function slightly different than you do.
Here's your next one. You better get this right. Wrong. You better get this right. Oh. Call it out, Scott.
Oh, I can say it?
Yeah.
Never mind.
That's not the name of the song, is
I
it?
I mean, yeah, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Sorry.
That's not it either. I mean, man.
Oh, in Euro, it's a. When you turn.
You have 6 seconds. Six
it's
seconds.
Heart shape box.
Heart yeah, shape box. There you go.
You had to get to the.
He's over here.
I mean, is that two right?
Record name.
Correct.
Oh, no, I'm like, it's
disgusting. Patrico's disgusted.
Oh, I am disgusted.
I didn't turn it down there.
All right, here we go. Here is your fourth one.
The stress that we go through is the entertaining part.
Cemetery Gates.
Oh, Cemetery, my bad. Yeah, I played this on guitar before, too.
Oh, isn't that neat? Here's your next one. I don't think I'm going to get this one. This is a tough one. You could surprise me. You surprised me by getting that one wrong, but there you go.
Well, it's, again, song title.
Played on this radio station 7 bazillion times.
Could it be? Is it a System of a Down?
Yeah. Chop Suey.
Chop Suey!
Nice.
Look at you guys. Okay, here's your next one.
Song titles, man.
Yeah, no, song titles. Like, oh, toxicity.
This is a classic song. It's an old timey song. I mean, old timey 80s. Here we go.
Ooh. separate ways.
Separate ways. All right, this next one, I'll give you a hint. It's a metal song, a popular one.
Oh, that's a huge hit.
It's a big hit. Will Moon and King Scott know it? Here we go. Your next one.
What were the hints on this?
It's a metal song from a classic metal band. Had a couple mainstream hits, this being one of them. Huge following. Cult following.
I'm assuming he's talking about Kiss, but I couldn't tell you one.
Not Kiss.
Oh, like Twisted Sister or somebody?
Megadeth.
Yeah. Skin of Your Teeth or something.
It's Run to the Hills from Iron Maiden.
Oh, see, I don't know. I've seen Iron Maiden twice, and I love watching them, but I don't know anything about
them. I only know their cover band stuff. I don't know theirs.
I hear this song. I know this song now that you're playing. I could have never told you.
You'll get this one. Here we go. Come on.
It's way different that you see the song, by the way. You see the title and play it, you know it right away. It's easy for you.
Yeah, but I was playing this game back in the office. I got most of them right.
Yeah, I mean, it's much easier when you see the title.
Of course it is.
Yeah, Master of Puppets.
Is it Master of Puppets? Yeah.
And especially with him, you know, he there's so much stuff that goes on in his head when it comes to this.
Yeah.
All right, how many is that?
That's eight total. He's got five right.
Okay, here we go. Next one. Big fat hit.
I'm the man in the box.
All right.
These tempos are tricky.
Yeah.
I feel like this is... excuse, but I feel like some musicians would have a harder time than non-musicians with this. Stuck in certain areas with songs. Stop it, Riz.
Sure.
You're a musician now, you know.
Well, I mean, I'm a guy that's played all these songs a lot.
You're
a
shredder.
It could screw me up. You screw me up too. I don't know. I am a shredder, yes. All right, last one. Here we go. Give everybody Point Fest tickets.
The Rizzuto Show. Rewind.
All right, so here was the question I asked you before we hit the break. So there's this new trend on Twitter where people come up with a phrase that would instantly make sex awkward. And it can only be five words. So some of the better ones I saw was like, Grandpa died in this bed. Or what are good kids' names? I kind of like Nickelback. Say that, they get awkward. Or I think I love you. Or I learned this in prison.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one ended it for me.
So what do you guys think? 314-969-DUDE, 314-969-3833. Send a text on the Metro PCS texter. All right, make sex awkward instantly in five words. Richard, go.
My dog likes peanut butter.
That'll do it. How about Clay in St. Louis? What do you got?
I was thinking about Jesus.
That'll work. Okay. How about Vaughn in DeSoto? Make sex awkward instantly.
My mom took my virginity.
Oh, no.
Right.
Excuse me. Oh,
well, we have that
Excuse
in common.
Me?
We got that in common.
How about Lola in St. Louis? Lola.
Hold on. It fell off.
Yeah, that'll do it.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks. We'll peek into
what do you got,
Patrico?
Life.
You want some from the text or some I wrote
How about
down?
Some of you?
All right.
How about some of you?
All right. Stop. I got to go potty.
That's.
My dad showed me this. I also wrote down.
The worst response to that is, I know. I was there.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
I also have, you look like Jeff Burton.
Hey. Oh, yeah. Hey, on the texture, there was the one that said Jeff Burton is watching us.
Oh, man. Is that Jeff Burton is watching us? Yeah, that counted.
That's more of a five words to make it even more horny and delicious.
Nope. Awkward.
Mm. Yeah.
How about you, Jeff?
I have haven't done this since prison. I have can't wait to tell Dad. I have learned that from my uncle. And I also have you should try eating asparagus.
How about can my cat watch us?
Oh, yeah.
Oof. What about you, Moon?
Well, along the lines of the listener, there, the caller, weren't you wearing a condom? What's your name again? And I promise that camera's off.
Ah, that's a good one.
Ooh, yeah.
I think I've said that one.
What about some good stuff off the texter?
All right, here's what I got from the texter, and these are some good ones. I'll just rifle through them. is this supposed to burn? what is this doing here? You smell like my grandma? Yes, the test was positive.
Oh.
Can you pretend you're dead?
No.
Oh. Will you take a check? You are my daughter's age.
Oh, man.
What's up with your dog?
How about when's that bar mitzvah again?
All right.
My ex-girlfriend loved this.
Oh, yeah. Here's a good one along the lines of yours, Moon. Wave to the hidden camera.
How about you signed that waiver, right?
Oh, that's a good one.
How much is this again?
Yeah.
How about you can't get that twice?
Oh, there you go. How about this one? Here, use this tack hammer.
What the hell? 636. That is last month's blood.
Oh.
please don't put that there. That's a good one.
That's almost as bad as that's my parents' safe word.
Oh. Get checked out after this.
You are going to do what?
Satan made me do it.
You have a sexy soul.
Let me grab the GoPro. These are great.
What is that gray tape?
Are you sure about this?
Now you're stuck with me.
Hang on, I got a thought.
Does herpes make you itch?
Oh, no.
Here's a good one. 618. Man, I just feel blessed.
Get she, out.
She used to do it like this.
Ooh, don't mind the other stains.
That's seven words.
Please don't mind the outbreak. Hey, get that out of here.
Hey, get that out.
Do you like Cosby teenies?
Man. You're hotter than my sister.
Oh, what's that smell?
Your mom.
That's only three.
Your mom.
Oh,
likes
it has
this
to
position.
Be five. I thought it was five or less.
Yeah. Five. No, words.
I thought it was five or
five
less.
Words.
What's that smell in here?
Our toddler is watching.
Is this supposed to ooze?
Oh, can my son join in?
Oh.
Mom did the same thing.
Mom said this is really fun.
A lot of moms and sisters on here.
Well.
Wow, that really looks infected.
They have a cure, promise.
Wait, comma, you have a penis?
I'm going to get you pregnant.
Ooh. Hitler was an okay guy.
No.
They constantly portray abnormal sexual behavior as being normal.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
They glorify unnatural sex acts.
Yeah! The Rizzuto Show. Sexy time, fun facts.
All right, enough of that fun. Time to get down to serious business. Sexy Time Fun Facts, sponsored by
123 Mortgage. Online, 123mortgage.com, a division of My Mutual Mortgage, NMLS, number 129-01.
RT3 is in here, joining us for Sexy Time Fun Facts. Next question, and it's all about relationships and sex and stuff like that. We'll tell you about a couple new products out there for you. Are people really this secure with the size of their sexy parts? You know, the plastic surgery market getting more and more popular every year. I'm pretty skeptical about this, honestly. A new survey asked Americans how they feel about the size of some key areas of their bodies. And here are the results. 63% of women say their breasts are the right size. 13% wish they were larger. And 15% think theirs are too big. Why are you laughing?
Because I'm that 13%.
You wish they were bigger?
Oh, yeah.
See, I think that's really low.
You would have thought. Yeah. Now,
I think a lot more women would think they need to be bigger.
Do you wish they were bigger for you, or do you wish they were bigger for your dude,
for
or a little of both, or
for you?
A self-esteem thing, or what?
Chicks don't care about their
boobs. I've been teased about it since I was like a kid.
Really?
Since puberty hit. My dad used to call me a surfboard.
Really? Your dad?
Yeah. Oh, my
dad. That's not nice.
That's weird that you left your home country so early.
That's why you're here.
How about your ass? 57% of women say their butt is the right size. 12% wish it were bigger, and 22% wish it was smaller.
I'm happy with mine.
Happy with that?
Yeah.
Now, as far as men go, 55% of men say their junk is the right size. I'm fine with that, too.
Yeah, I'm good with
that. Throw me in that category. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
I'm good, too.
29% wish it was bigger, and only 1% wish it was smaller. Whatever 1%. Get over yourselves. Get over yourselves.
I bet that 1% is that guy from Mexico who has, like, where it looks like a salami sandwich.
19 inches?
Yeah.
He was tapping himself on the forehead with it, remember?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, God, that was gross.
Come on.
So would the people who are unhappy actually spend money on plastic surgery? All right, so you're unhappy. You're unhappy with your boobs. You're unhappy with your butt. You're unhappy with your donger. Would you spend money on plastic surgery? 19% of women say they'd strongly consider getting breast implants.
Mm-hmm.
11% would get butt implants. And 25% of men would think about penile enlargement. No way.
Nope. Wouldn't even give it a first thought, much less a second thought. No way.
Breast augmentation. Just too much that could go wrong. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my thinking.
I'm just too scared it hurts. I've heard it hurts a lot.
I'm sure it hurts.
Yeah.
Like, my wife is like, you know, what if I, you know, down the road just want to get a lift?
Just a lift and a separate, a little refresher, hit the restart button.
Two kids, yeah. maybe get some implants in there. Like, you know,
you can get a lift without actually getting an implant, right? Can't you just get them tightened up or whatever, where the lack of a better term is?
Yeah, but they usually got to be fairly big to want to do that.
Yeah.
314. All you guys are liars. No, I'm happy with what I got.
Yeah, I'm all good with mine.
I would never get a penile enlargement. Never.
No.
Never. Never. Never.
Someone's saying that with nursing that they'll get bigger, and that is true. They have.
Yeah, but then they deflate.
No, don't say that.
Oh, they do.
I'm really happy right now.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, with
like majorly.
Oh yeah, they go back to almost normal.
With the two kids,
sometimes smaller.
We had, you know, my wife was like double D, like, hey, look at me, I'm a double D, but they're not for me. They rhymed.
They're not for you.
And
plus, when they're that big, you don't really want them for you either.
No.
Like in a bra, like if she's wearing a tighter shirt and in a bra, you're like, damn. And then you see him and you're like, oh, damn.
Oh, boy.
Now, I'm not sure if this is good news or bad news, but if you thought you were the only woman out there who settled for a so-so boyfriend, that's definitely not the case. A new survey asked women to rate the quality of their boyfriend on a scale of 1 to 10. And almost half of women feel like they're with someone who's average or worse.
Mm. Wow.
45% gave a score of 5 or less, including 11% who gave their boyfriend a 1 or a 1 out of 10.
Damn.
Wow.
Why are you still there then?
Yeah.
On the other hand, 33% of women gave their boyfriend a score of 10 out of 10. So that's 1 in 3 women, and not bad. But if you're giving your boyfriend a score of 5 or less, why are you even still there?
Right.
So that's something to think about, fellas. You know, your credit score is keeping you from getting a credit card or anything with decent perks and being able to maybe spontaneously buy a speedboat. But did you know it's also holding you back from love, your credit score?
Hmm.
A new study found that your best bet at having a great relationship is having a solid credit score. Three economists found people with higher credit scores are more and most likely to be in a committed relationship that would go the distance. If you're single and you have good credit, you're 14% more likely than someone with worse credit to get into a strong relationship next year. And it's 37% more likely to last. They also found that people tend to wind up seriously dating people who have similar credit scores to themselves. And couples where one person's score is way higher than the other tend to have trust issues.
So is that the next dating website? Is just you, just your picture and your credit score?
Experian.
And that's it?
Experian. Is that Experian?
No, we could create a website called creditcupid.com. Anonymous people. It's not. There's no names. There's no anything. It's just their credit score and a little bit about themselves.
Here's some new products for you. You fellows out there, outside of Magnum condoms and, you know, medieval cod pieces, there aren't really many products targeted at well-endowed gentlemen. Am I right, fellas?
Beer. Let's fight somebody.
I don't know.
Yeah, cage fighting.
Well, that changed.
You going to finish those ravioli?
There are two new products catering to men who are gifted in the pants. First, there's a company called Mugsy Jeans that only sells one product. Skinny jeans with extra room in the crotch for your big hog.
Dumb.
You can order them online at MugsyJeans.com.
On it.
A pair will set you back $149.
Never mind.
Off it.
Never mind.
The guy who founded the company says he came up with the idea because anytime he tried to wear tight jeans, quote, and made my crotch feel like I was in Dwayne The Rock Johnson's chokehold.
All right.
You got some extra Kohl's cash, right, Jeff?
I do. Yeah. Does he take competitor coupons?
And the other new product for men with massive junk solves a very different problem. A guy from Florida just got a patent for this device that will keep your tackle from touching the water when you're sitting on the toilet.
This thing's great.
See this?
No.
Apparently, some guys have some problems with dipping their doodles. What I call it. You dip your doodle accidentally.
Your boys turn into floaties. They're floaties.
That happens?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from what I heard.
Yeah, depending on how high the water is.
What's even worse is when it's the automatic flusher and you move a certain way and it flushes, just get the spray bag.
You jump.
You get the shower, man.
It's horrible. It's like you're at Niagara Falls.
So this guy invented a little cup that suctions onto your satchel. Your stuff dry. It's like a...
Is there pictures of this?
Yeah, there is.
I'm trying to find it.
What's the product called?
It's called the Shield.
Toilet Shield for your crotch.
He's working on manufacturing it to get into stores as soon as possible. It's going to be called the Shield.
Wait, there's all sorts of different types, in fact.
Oh, don't fall for imitators.
I cannot find it.
Oh, this is a splash. Okay, that is a splash guard. The Shield.
Yeah, it's like a splash guard for your...
Yeah, but this was one you attach to the toilet rather than yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, no, this one suctions on right onto your satchel.
It's kind of like if you're down at the lake and there's like a, you know, you put your pontoon in the water and then it rises, and then you crank the thing and it rises up. It's kind of like that.
Hey, yo, being honest, has anyone ever had this happen?
What, dipping your doodle?
Yeah.
I've had the automatic toilet flush thing go.
Yeah, but you never sat down and gone, wait a second.
I'm telling you right now, I'll be 1,000% honest with you. There's something with the toilets in my parents' house that when I sit down, not the main event, but the supporting cast, I go, bloop, boy.
Mine too.
And I got to scoot back a little bit on the toilet.
Yeah, it's never him, it's the boys.
I don't think I've ever had that happen. So you do that at your parents' house?
Oh, yeah, of course, man. Okay. Come on now. Right.
Well, I just heard it was only your house, so I'm proud of you.
And that's where I feel home.
No, this is for something like, it's like, you know, it's a raft for your fellas.
A raft.
Oh, what? Boy. What is this for real?
I just came across a different product.
Get the hell out of here.
That's it.
Wait,
there's
what?
A diagram. That's the diagram where the guy is.
So this doesn't suction to your business. It suctions to the bowl.
Let me see.
Look, because there's a suction cup, there's the bowl, and so it raises this out of the bowl, and then the boys sit on this thing.
Oh, so I read that wrong.
So it suctions to the bowl that has a little platform that plops up out of the water,
and your boys rest on it.
It's like a boat lift.
So it is for the boys. This is for the boys. My parents need this in the house.
Can I ask what in the hell you put in to find this thing?
That's a podium for your satchel.
Is that like first world problems?
Yeah,
I typed in the shield toilet suction.
Oh, wow.
Now type naked after him to see what happens.
No.
Tell you what, though. I was saying this comes into play with this. If this is the kind of problem you have, I was telling some of my problems to my buddy out in L.A., and he goes, man, quality problems. Mm-hmm. And that really put it in perspective.
Yeah, these are first world problems.
I would say listen, there's plenty of people in third world countries that are in need of this type of products.
Yeah, they're plumbing out in the woods.
They don't even have toilets.
Well, you don't want
it
getting into poison ivy or the ants biting things.
Just look at this thing. I can't stop laughing. I mean, it is a podium.
It's putting your satchel on a pedestal.
It really,
sure
is.
Basically,
and should
that
they
says,
not be?
Oh, very cool. That's so cool.
like wow, your fella should be on a pedestal.
Yeah, well,
there it is. You're buying
this.
Is?
This is the T3. It's a testy table in a toilet.
It's a table. How much is it?
Oh, I don't know how much it is.
Tabletop.
No, the guy just got the patent for it. So.
Oh, okay.
Testy tabletop.
Oh, see, I didn't know you put it. I thought you suctioned onto yourself.
Yep, you attach it to the bowl. The little pedestal pops out of the water, and then the fellas sit right there.
So can you imagine how many times you have to test this? Can we actually sit down and test this? How many times you have to dip yourself
that's
in?
Right.
Can we get a real shot of this or what? This diagram crap, this cartoon.
Well, that's the patent.
Yeah, they haven't made it yet there, fella.
Oh, sorry.
Easy there.
Well, I'm sure they've made those prototypes.
This man's tired as dipping his doodle.
So how much would you pay for it?
How much would you pay for this?
Thousands of dollars.
No, and realistically.
Okay. Thousands?
Nice little plastic piece.
$20.
Yeah, $10.
I would go, sure. I'm telling you, I would go $29.99.
You know what it's going to be? Yeah, it's going to be $29.99, and if you order now and pay separate shipping and handling, you get free.
You get two of them.
It'll be on Shark Tank.
Yeah. I need two of them.
You got this.
You get two of them and the pet egg.
Yeah, and you get the travel one, too, that you can take to
that's
work.
That's right.
Oh no.
And finally, a new study at a Chapman University in California found that short men and skinny men have the fewest sexual partners. So I'm thinking if you're short, there's nothing you can do about it. But if you're skinny, I mean, there is a solution, gain weight. Yeah. The researchers found men who are tall or average height have sex with an average of 7 different people by the age of 30. Short guys have sex with an average of 5. They found men who are average weight or overweight have more sexual partners than men who are underweight. The same thing is true for women. Underweight women had less sex than women who were average or overweight. But unlike men, height didn't affect a woman's sex life.
Hmm.
The study also found 58% of men and 56% of women have had sex with more than 5 people by age of 30, and 29% of men and 23% of women have had sex with more than 14 people. Those are the facts.
Hmm.
Those are the facts for you. Why are you rolling your eyes?
I didn't roll my eyes.
Yeah, you did.
You rolled your eyes.
You
rolled
your eyes. I was looking at you guys.
You rolled your eyes. You gave up.
No, I didn't.
The exact look on your face. The exact look on your face was this look. I don't think so.
No, I was computing.
Was that not the look?
That was a lot of data.
No, that was I don't know about this.
No, just trying to work out
it wasn't at all. I was just working out the numbers. I find it very fascinating, all those statistics.
What, the numbers before 30?
Yeah, especially because we all are aware that people inflate and deflate those numbers. Mm-hmm. So, like, I find it fascinating. Every time one of those studies comes out, I don't know. I'm a pretty sexual being, pretty horny dude, and I find it fascinating.
So you'd be higher than those numbers. Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't know. I don't remember what the numbers were.
I'll tell you right now.
don't call me out unless everybody's saying that.
He says, why does it smell like worms in here? Because you just opened it.
I didn't. You guys rolled my eyes. I didn't roll my eyes. You're trying to bait me.
I have a low number. I think I'm five, between 5 and 7.
Yeah.
Well, I was, you know, I've been married for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
It'd be 10 years this year. And we were together for 6 years prior to being married. So.
Wow, congrats.
We met, my wife and I met when we were 19, 20 years old. So I have a relatively low number. And I don't cheat. So
so there's that.
Anybody else want to contribute to anything?
No, we're just letting you go.
Go for it there, Riz.
I've lived a fascinating life. I'm sure everyone here has as well.
All right, I love how Riz just dropped his number that looked at us, and we all went, man, all what's right, next? So, what's coming up?
Time to goo? Traffic and weather going on here? I don't know.
We're not giving out numbers.
I love how Moon just baited you into saying your number.
I know.
I did.
Yeah, you did.
Well, you know,
I'm not the only one that's going to say numbers. And then he's like, me, it's about five. And then he looked at you, and you were like, nope, I'm not saying nothing.
Oh, dude.
He baited you, bro.
I will tell you this.
Just me, huh?
I will tell you this.
All right, great.
You're on number island over there.
I will tell you.
He was so baited here. I can't believe it.
I'm sorry.
I know, you suckered me.
Did I really?
Yo, yeah.
You suckered me.
Now we're even for last week. I will say, whatever my number is, given my occupation for the past 12 years, touring musician and this and that, I would surprise you. Dramatically surprise you. Most people, you know, assume like, oh, rock and roll band, this, that, and the other thing. It's a pretty high number. Now I guarantee I'm lower than anybody.
I bet his number would surprise you, and my number would surprise.
Is that because you're fussy?
Because I'm what?
What's your number?
Fussy.
I'd really rather
come
not
on,
say.
I told mine. Come on. And I was 100% honest.
I will be 1,000% honest with you.
Go ahead.
Whoa.
There we go.
I couldn't tell you mine.
Can we guess?
Write it down.
Can we guess?
Take some guesses.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, because he said it's a surprise.
Well, you're 30 now. Okay, so this is everything prior to 30.
You know what I'm gonna do? Go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I'm gonna say 10.
That's what I was gonna go with. I'll go with 8.
I think college is a little wild for you. I'm gonna say 25.
Whoa,
boy. RT3?
Hey, and judging by the.
I'm gonna go on 20.
Judging by the weight thing, remember the statistics?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Price is right rules.
Price is right rules.
I said 10, you said 20.
I said 8.
8, okay.
8. 25.
20. RT3 said 20.
I should have said 8. That was dumb.
Damn it, you're gonna win.
10. And the answer is?
The winner, Price is Right Rules, is Riz.
What? 10?
17. Wow.
17?
Wow.
Can you name them all?
I could name a bunch of them. There are a few.
The majority.
Where,
like 6 of them.
No, there's a couple where I'm like, oh, there's one I know a nickname. I couldn't tell you the first name, though.
Oh, the nickname you gave her?
No.
Oh. Wow.
Sponge cake?
Wild thing.
Hey, and listen, and here's the thing. I'm not gonna sit here and be like 17 tens. Hell yeah. There was a time in college where I was like, quantity over quality.
Somebody out there just went, oh.
No, they did not.
You're so
it was not pretty.
No, I'm saying
listen, and my buddy, you know, my buddy, I mean, he works in volume.
Oh, yeah.
And this dude over, I mean, I would say almost 200.
Oh, dude, I toured with a guy.
Okay.
I toured with a guy that year, he had a little black book, like super cliche. Little black book, every city we went to, he had two or three names that he had either they were on a worked on page or an already happened page, you know, and he would sort of judge it on that. He hit 157 by the end of the year.
Damn.
For the year.
In a calendar year.
Yeah, because I toured with him 3 times that year.
Wow.
And, 157. And the man was a machine. And not a good looking
machine.
That
is impressive.
Somebody's saying, check out the Squatty Potty. You'll die laughing. I own a Squatty Potty.
Yes, you do. I've stood on it.
Have you used it?
No, I stood on it. Remember, I stood on it to go number one.
Anyone else want to share their numbers?
Look at this, 636.
You want to bring us back?
On the 636, my girlfriend's buddy is 19. My buddy's girlfriend is 19, and her number is 32.
That a girl.
Oh, yeah. 19. Yes, I'm so glad I'm not having a girl.
I knew a bunch of people
Wait, a girl or a guy?
My buddy's girlfriend is 19. Her number is 32.
That's
man.
At 19.
At 19.
See, I'm a relationship guy, so I've been in relationships since I was a teen.
I would say that mine is higher than Patrico's.
Yeah.
My buddy.
Woo, damn, right. Really? Yeah,
listen, hold on real quick before we go to that. Before we go to that, I just got a text from one of my buddies who said pre-college, his number was 3. In college, after he graduated, 37.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also went to college for one semester.
I went to college
for a semester and a half. Yeah. So I didn't experience college like
yeah, me neither.
All right, RT3. No, she's at higher than 17.
I can't give you the exact number.
Yes, you can.
Sure you can.
Sure can. No.
He's not listening.
No.
He knows anyway.
There's no way.
You already got him hooked in with the baby. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Your whole family's
fine.
In a different country.
Right, how about this?
Over there.
We'll guess the number. You got to write it down. I'll be the only one that sees it.
I cannot believe you're putting me on the
here
spot.
Here you go. No, you're going to write down your number.
You're the one that's asking everybody else's numbers on.
They're going to guess. We won't say the number. We'll just say who's right.
Here's an idea. Write it in South African. We won't know what it says.
Write down the number, and then they're going to guess Price is Right rules. I'll say who the winner is, but we'll never say the actual number.
Too many good jokes.
Okay, so only you guys will find out.
It's like right,
a,
correct.
It's like a cave drawing.
And I won't say it aloud.
Holy cow!
It was three numbers.
She wrote right.
Wait, are we guessing?
Yeah, you three are guessing. I have the number in my hand.
She was so confident when she said,
Price is Right rules.
Well, she said higher than Patrico's number.
Very confidently, too.
Man, I thought you were conservative.
Me?
I'll go first. I'll go 19. Now I'll go 20. I'll go
I'm
going
to say 22.
Riz, 22. Moon.
Yeah, I'm going to break out there. I'm going to stay with my 25.
25. Price is Right rules. Closest without going over.
Well, obviously, if I win, then we're going to know the number.
Yes, that is true. Price is Right rules. Closest without going over. Moon.
Yeah!
Hey, all right, I'm going to show you. You can't say the number.
Hey,
we agreed to not show the number. I'm going to show you, though.
You're a lot of fun.
Wow.
What a slut.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
Hey,
not in South Africa.
Wow, Jeff.
You guys want to
guess mine?
Come on.
No, actually, never mind.
Hey, Mr. Silence over here. He's had the most years of experience.
Is it higher than mine?
I don't like to talk about the dead.
Oh,
sorry.
Damn.
No, I told you. I would be very, very, most people would be very surprised on mine.
So yours is not higher than mine. Jeff, is yours higher than mine? Awesome. Okay, good.
That is for the affirmative, yes.
There was a head shake in there. You can't hear that on the radio.
Somebody on the texture says, I'm 25 and it's over 60.
Oh.
Well, listen, Jeff's been around on this earth for way longer than
that. Yeah, I started a lot earlier than you guys.
What was Riz's number? I was like between 5 and 7. I don't remember.
Whoa, really?
Yeah. We'll go with 6.
Everybody is judging themselves in the
right now. And that's including yourself.
Yeah.
You make me feel awful.
No, it's only Jeff made
I pass
you feel
no
awful.
Judgment.
Yeah, I
no,
high five you.
Because your number is only 7.
Hey.
Yours may have only been 6, but it was all in one night.
That's right.
High five.
All right, boobs and beers and steak.
Yeah. Potato skins.
Well, what have we learned today?
Not a whole lot.
No, I think we learned something. RT3 is not as innocent as we thought.
That's right.
I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that right now.
All I know for sure is we all had a shot before she got knocked up, obviously.
No!
Okay.
You said it right.
And,
good job.
And here we go.
Creepy.
Tell me I had a shot. Tell me.
No, you're not my type.
The Rizzuto Show. Rewind.
She's going to be in town. I said, Mom, in town for Point Fest. I guess you're going to the show.
My parents are going to miss another one.
Your parents are not so with us anymore.
Jeff, in all reality, your parents have been at everyone.
Oh, that's true. R.I.P. Lee and Pat.
Wow. Jeff?
Not a lot of letters in your name, huh? In your family.
No, Lee and Pat.
Jeff.
Actually,
it's Leon and Patricia. Did you know that all 5 of us have the same middle name?
Huh. Gerard.
How many are there? There's 4 of us.
Gerard.
Gerald.
No. It's Gerard.
It was said earlier.
Gerard.
It's Herculaneum.
That's interesting.
Jeff Herculaneum Burton. I like that. Can I change it to
Herculaneum?
That?
Do
whatever you want. Just call me Herky.
Hey, guys, no Hill Dog for president in 2020. In a new interview, Hillary Clinton says there will be no rematch with President Trump in 2020. And here is Hillary Clinton in her own words.
I'm not running, but I'm going to keep working and speaking and standing up for what I believe.
She said that she has talked to a couple
Democratic candidates in the 2020 field and plans to take an active role in the election. Also not running in 2020, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. He said that he thinks he would beat the president in a general election, but says he'd have a tough time winning the Democratic nomination with, I think, 7,000 people are vying for the Democratic nomination. So
Hill Dog didn't stand a chance because it's going to be The Rock 2020.
Ooh, has he thrown his hat in the ring?
Oh, hey.
It's Ash Wednesday, which marks the start of Lent, but apparently fewer and fewer people go to actual churches these days because ain't nobody got time for that. A newspaper in New Jersey ran a story on how ashes to go, more popular than ever. I know they're doing them here. I think they're doing them in De Pere.
Really?
At a De Pere Park, if I'm not mistaken. But ashes to go, it's where priests kind of draw crosses on people's foreheads outside train stations, coffee shops. So they could just knock it out on their way to work and not be be late if you
need
the ashes.
Applebee's curbside service is doing it, too. And get some ribs and then go.
This isn't a new idea, by the way. In fact, it started here in St. Louis. A church here started the Ash to Go thing over a decade ago to reach out to people. And then other churches started following suit. It's just more popular now because we're so busy. Mm-hmm. But that started here in St. Louis.
Did it really?
Uh-huh. Ashes to Go. That's right.
That's neat.
Now you know. Put that in your pocket.
I did. I'm putting it in right now.
I'll borrow that.
A recent study in the journal Drug and Alcohol Review found that people who don't have kids tend to drink more than people who do have kids. Shocking, I know. Parents are 25% less likely to be heavy drinkers than people without kids because people who don't have kids have more time and less responsibility. The divide was bigger for women, though. Dads drink almost as much as guys who don't have children. The study also found that when people with kids do drink, they're much more likely to drink where? At home.
At home.
I had a nice little glass of whiskey Sunday night, making dinner.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know what?
You don't drink with dinner every night when you're home?
No, I don't. I don't. I rarely drink at home. I'm going to treat.
I drink a heck of a lot more at home, more often at home than probably than I go out,
I'm
to be honest with you.
I'm not that big of a drink. When I go out to dinner, have a drink.
See, my deal is, and I've talked about this before, with the gin martini that I drink, you're either a douche and explain it, you know, ingredient to ingredient, exactly how to do it, or you take the chance. So I'll have a whiskey when I'm out, but a martini at home kind of thing.
I never drink at home.
Even when you were drinking, never like, you know, have a beer or whatever?
Nope.
Well, because you would drink to, you.
I told you, I would never casually drink. If I drank, it was to get drunk.
Moon, do you drink? I can imagine you, when you were drinking beer, having a beer almost every night.
Yeah, not almost every night, but yeah. At home. And I rarely go out, so.
That's funny you bring that up, because last night when I made dinner, I had milk with it. And out loud, I went, hey, I'm not having a drink today. And I had one about an hour later. But with dinner, I didn't have a drink, and it popped into my head because I have one every night.
You have a drink every night?
Oh, yeah, at least
every night.
Yeah.
And you guys called me the alcoholic.
I have one, not 37.
Yeah, but I only had 37 once every 3 months.
But I never, I can't even remember the last time I was buzzed, though. That's the thing.
I don't think I've ever seen Jeff drunk. In the years I've known you?
I have.
You have?
Riz Show Live, he was drunk.
You were?
Or he was feeling it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
he was.
But you were a little buzzed. You're right.
Yes, he was.
You were a little buzzed.
There was at one point where he looked at me.
I don't remember if I was drunk or not.
There was at one point where he looked at me and said something, and I went,
never.
Oh, that.
Did you guys see what I had to drink? What I was drinking that night?
Yeah, you were drinking gin out of a water bottle.
No, I don't want to say on the air, so I'll write it down.
Jeff, that is not what you had to drink.
I know what you're doing.
You can't even drink that.
Oh, challenge accepted.
Yes, you can.
Challenge accepted.
I guess you can.
Take his pen away.
I was going to say, can you put you can put it in a glass, too. I guess you are correct.
You're going to have it on the rocks.
You could stir with it.
But when he ate the tarantula at Riz Show Live, he grabbed the water bottle and he started chugging it, and it was gin.
And it was gin.
And that's when I think it wasn't intentionally to get drunk, but I think you were feeling pretty good after that.
Have you seen us? Well, you've seen Tony drunk. Yeah. Have you ever seen me?
Helen Keller saw him.
Drunk, drunk?
I think I have.
Yeah.
Well, can you place a time?
I don't remember.
We've all seen Riz drunk.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm. speaking of Riz show
live. No, you haven't.
Live. That one in there.
Yes, King Scott was hammered King Scott. Show live.
I mean, he asked me the next day, hey, how'd it go? Yeah, I wasn't there.
He was in another dimension.
Remember, he made out with, quote-unquote, somebody that night.
For real?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, remember somebody emailed in and said, like, their friend that didn't even listen to the show.
I think they were drunk, too, when they wrote that. Kids who, you know, people who don't have kids are more likely to go to a bar. And people with kids, more likely to drink at home. Now, yesterday we talked about Pabst Blue Ribbon coming out with a whiskey. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Aged for five seconds.
I was just going to say, aged for 5 seconds.
In order to get it on, you know, on shelves, it's got to be aged to be whiskey for a certain amount of time. Pabst Blue Ribbon, aged for 5 seconds. Remember, here was the commercial.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Whiskey. Distilled, then aged.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Get it on the truck.
Pabst Blue Ribbon Whiskey. Taste why aging makes a difference.
So great.
Part of me doesn't think that's real.
Yeah, same here.
The commercial?
Yeah.
That's not real.
Oh.
Okay, so here's a good question. Are beer snobs worse than bourbon snobs? Because there are beer snobs and there are bourbon snobs. I've met both of them.
I think I've met both
What's
of them,
worse?
Too.
What's worse? And that question was tackled by one of the columnists on Deadspin. Who's worse, beer snobs or bourbon snobs?
To me, beer snobs are because I don't drink beer. Okay. If that makes sense. I'm uninterested in what you're saying about the beer. I don't care. So if somebody starts talking to me about bourbon, then I'll listen. You know, but I'm pretty much just a Jameson or Stumpy's or something like that. So, yeah, I would like to learn about it a little bit.
The reasoning here this guy gives is pretty spot on. I agree with it. But go ahead. What do you think?
I'm going to say that beer snobs are worse. And here's my reason. And again, this is just my personal observation. If it's a beer snob, I give somebody a beer and they drink it and they go, and then they go into their reasoning on why they don't like it and why this other beer is better and this other beer is better. When it's a bourbon snob, you give them a bourbon, they're like, I'm not a big fan. But they'll still drink it, but they have their personal favorites.
Okay, what do you think?
I'm trying to think, and I would, if I had to put...
What's worse, pick a one, beer snob or a bourbon snob?
I bet you a beer snob is probably considered worse because... There are home brewers, and you can brew something that it maybe isn't good, but it's okay. It's drinkable, and I think it's maybe more difficult to get a drinkable bourbon.
And are there more amateur beer snobs than there are whiskey or the bourbon?
Let's just
snobs.
Talk about the annoying factor.
Okay,
the
so
annoying
is that
the annoying factor?
Yeah, because they always have to with beer. Again, I'm not a beer drinker, so it irritates me more. But just to break every damn beer down.
Here is
this
and that's
hoppy is this.
And that's almost what this guy's getting to here. The beer snob is worse. Here's the reasoning. Nice bourbon tends to be pricier than nice beer. And it tends to be consumed by older people. People more inclined to snobbery. So you kind of know what you're getting there. This person expects whiskey people to be snooty about their liquor. Whereas beer snobs can suddenly just materialize.
There's no like requirements.
They
there's
just
no
materialize. Yeah. You know,
you don't have to
I'm just trying to get drunk here. I don't even know about, you know, German beer purity laws. I don't care about that. I'm just here trying to get drunk, and all of a sudden I'm at the brew pub, and beer snob guy shows up.
Right. I'll call that an IPA. That's not an IPA. Okay.
Get the hell out of here. Get out of here.
Yeah, that's funny.
You tell me if this is an overreaction. A 27-year-old guy in Orlando has been, I guess I'm trying to get his Nissan Altima out of an impound lot for about a month after he got towed. So again, guy tries to get his Nissan Altima out of the impound yard. It's been a month since it was towed.
It's a good car.
He finally goes back to get the car on Saturday. And the owner of the lot was out grabbing food and had his keys. So he had to wait a little longer.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it was the keys of the office?
I guess so.
All I know is the guy couldn't get his keys.
Gotcha.
So the guy had to wait a little longer. But apparently he was so fed up at this point because instead of waiting, he started throwing Molotov cocktails at his own car.
Sure. All right.
He threw at least three of them over a fence and set the trunk of his car on fire. Because that'll show him. And while he was doing it, the owner of the lot showed up with the keys.
Oops. I just don't, like, what is the end game there?
The lot's owner's got money? The lot's the lot owner's name is Darnell, and he says he's not sure what this guy was thinking because he'd already paid almost $300 to get his car out.
Oh, so he already paid for it too. So technically, it was his car. They were just waiting on the keys.
He could have left with that, like, with his not burned out car, if he had just been a little patient.
What an idiot!
So now this guy's facing charges for arson and building a firebomb. So,
dummy.
Overreaction?
Yeah.
You betcha.
You could see him just tossing him right over the fence. He stuck his arm over him. I went somewhere to go bring him his key back, and then I got a call. His car was on fire. We got a paint shop in the back, so it's a lot of flammable materials that he could have harmed a lot of people over here.
Idiot.
What a dummy.
Idiot. And finally, and I love this story. Love it, love it, love it. Has anybody here actually read the fine print on something like iTunes, like
hell
the user agreement?
No. Hell no. I click accept every time.
I have.
Get out of here. No, you haven't.
Yes, I have. I have at times because some of it, I mean, especially with it in the news about how, you know, you can get really screwed on those things.
Like the you know, for an app or.
No, sometimes those apps are freaky and they're taking a lot of information.
But even for iTunes, I'm telling you, it's like 50 pages long.
Oh, I know.
And It's like a three font.
I'm talking about maybe 5% of the time.
Have you went to download or use an app and then read the fine print and then decided not to use the app?
I'm trying to think. It's possible. It's possible. I mean, I try to keep it as minimal as I can.
I'm just wondering what in the fine print would make you go, oh, I'm not using that.
Well, I mean, you got to remember, I've been dealing with record contracts for a number of years, and they're wordy, and they're tricky. And sometimes
For something like that, you have a lawyer look it over.
Yeah, but even I'm not going to have a lawyer look over something I'm not going to look over as well.
I'm a very trustworthy guy in the Riz camp.
been burned, man.
Legalese, Lynn. You got to the legalese I get confused by. Anyway. A travel insurance company in Florida called Square Month recently decided to test the theory of nobody actually reading the fine print in these kind of user agreements. And they had a secret $10,000 contest. And the only place they mentioned the contest was in the fine print of one of their travel insurance forms. So they buried the instructions way down in the middle of page 7.
Oh, man.
And didn't tell anybody about it. And the instruction said the first person who mentioned the contest would get the $10,000 prize.
That's
it.
Awesome.
All you did was mention it.
Hmm.
You didn't have to really do anything. You didn't have to, it wasn't a scavenger hunt. You didn't have to stand on your head. It wasn't a lottery. It just mentioned the $10,000 and it's yours. And if nobody noticed it within a year, they were planning to give the money to charity. Guess what happened?
They gave it to charity.
Turns out there are people who read those things.
Oh, wow.
A 59-year-old woman who teaches at a high school about 60 miles south of Atlanta, she always reads every user agreement and contract she signs religiously.
Yep, that's my dad.
And she spotted it on day one. Day one of the contest. She says she thinks that reading contracts is really important and even hides secret questions in her students' tests. So if they pay attention and read carefully, they could get extra credit.
Wow, this sounds exactly like my dad.
She bought an insurance policy from the company, read the whole contract, and got in touch with them about 23 hours after they launched the contest. So they gave her a check for $10,000 last week, plus an extra $10,000 to help out her school district, which is very nice.
That's good. Man.
That's awesome.
That's a cool company.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool company.
The Rizzuto Show podcast, powered by Dobbs, for the best price and value on quality tires and expert auto service. Get into Dobbs today.